Well, let's take our Bibles tonight. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Suddenly, there's a flood of folks coming in. Let's stand together, making room for everybody coming in. Glad you're getting in from work and wherever you might be. Let's make room for them. Daniel chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Daniel. You'll find it. It's right in there somewhere. And let's turn to Daniel chapter 2 for our scripture reading. And we're going to just take a special time of Bible study tonight on the subject of prayer. And as we come into this special season, this week, which I consider to be a very holy week of preparation and anticipation before Sunday, I'm not going to speak about stewardship or giving tonight. I'm going to speak about prayer and about faith. And we're going to learn from the life of Daniel. I was preaching this past Sunday about the fact that there was a Babylonian captivity, that there were many of the children of Judah taken away to Babylon, and one of those was Daniel. And we're going to learn tonight a little bit more about how God used him while he was there in Babylon. You remember the decree of King Darius to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And I said Sunday morning that many scholars felt that that decree was put into the heart of the king because Daniel, who had lived there for many years, had great influence in the country. And we're going to see how that influence really developed here in Daniel chapter 2. And so we're going to read beginning in verse 14, and we'll read for the sake of time down through about verse number 23, and then we'll preach down through verse 28. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." By the way, always remember to give thanks to the Lord when he answers your prayers. Amen. And let's just go ahead and read verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the book of Daniel. We thank you for this wonderful man of God, a man in whom was a right spirit, a right heart, a right passion for you. A man who, when he was told not to pray, prayed anyways. A man who, when he was falsely accused and imprisoned, believed anyways. We thank you for his prayer life, especially tonight. Teach us how to pray and how to believe in the midst of our lives in ministry. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, many times you really don't know how strong someone's faith is until their faith is tested. Often we hear the phrase, "A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted." Let's say that together. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And I was writing and praying for some of our members this past week, and some are here in this auditorium tonight, and suddenly trials have come into their life. And no doubt there are many reasons and many things that God will do through these trials. But one thing we know is that oftentimes these trials are the trial of our faith. And these are a time that God will use to strengthen our faith. And you will learn much about a Christian when they go through a time of trials. Daniel is facing here a great challenge, a trial of his faith, whether or not he would be able to show forth a revelation from God concerning a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar experienced. And it's interesting to see that during times that seem insurmountable to us, that when we trust God over and over again in the Bible, and may I say, even in the life of Lancaster Baptist Church, we have seen that when we trust God, He can do that which seems to us to be utterly impossible if we have faith in Him. Dr. Lee Robertson was a great help and mentor to me in the ministry, and though I did not attend his college, he preached for us on several occasions. And when I would speak to him about building programs, when I would speak to him about various different challenges, whether it be hiring staff or starting a school or whatever I was going through at the time, he often would look to me, and though he was at that time already around 80 years old, he would point his finger, somewhat crooked index finger, and he would say to me, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God." And we learn much about having faith in God tonight from Daniel. Here in chapter 2, the king has experienced a terrible dream that he not only wants to be revealed or interpreted, but he wants also to know the meaning of it. And he sends for his advisors, his pagan advisors who were well-versed in witchcraft, and he asks them to interpret the dream. And as you read verses 1 through 13, they were unable to interpret his dream. And verse number 12 says, "For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." I mean, those were tough days, weren't they? You can't interpret the dream? All right, cut their heads off. They can't interpret the dream. And how many of you would say that's a little bit of job pressure? And how many of you would agree, maybe not, maybe you don't work in the worst place after all, right? Because that would have been pretty tough if you would have been one of the magicians of Nebuchadnezzar. The advisors were unable to interpret the dream, and so he has ordered them, each of them, to be killed. But notice in verse 13, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So everyone in the king's court was feeling the great threat of this moment. And sometimes it takes this kind of a threat. Maybe it's the threat of layoff. Maybe it's the threat of some lawsuit or some difficulty that comes into our life before we really move into action and pray by faith. It takes sometimes a test to really get us to a point of prayer. And I thank the Lord for those seasons. Not always when I go through them am I as thankful as I should be. But I can say to you that the greatest times of growth in my life, and perhaps in yours, have not been when things were just solid momentum going right along, but the greatest times of growth have been when we have come to the valley, and the valley leads us to our knees in prayer. So I want you to learn from Daniel tonight, and I want you to notice, first of all, as he faces this situation, that he had a courageous faith. This was a man who had a courageous faith. And notice that as we begin our text in verse 14, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel." Now I want you to see, first of all, as Daniel was filled with faith, we see a very wise response from Daniel. Daniel's faith gives him courage to go to Arioch, who had the power to take life, and he simply asked the question, "Why is this decree happening so quickly?" Now, how many of you understand that Nebuchadnezzar, being as powerful as he was not the kind of a guy that you question what he was doing? But Daniel was a man who walked with God. Daniel was a man who did not fear the king in that sense, but he had a greater fear for the Lord. You see, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And while we have respect to those who are leader in leadership, and while we pray for them, we also, as God's people, must always speak the truth in love. And Daniel understood that. And with courage, he went to Arioch And he questioned, why is this happening so fast? What is going on here? Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So there's no panic in Daniel's response. And may I say that oftentimes when we face difficult seasons and we face overwhelming circumstances, it's very easy to have panic grip our hearts. I've been there. Perhaps you've been there. When I was out in Detroit, Michigan this past fall and I had just landed, I was coming in about midnight on a Monday night, getting ready to preach the next morning for Pastor Ouellette. And Danielle called me and she said, Dad, Chandler has hit his head just running around a corner, hit his brother, fell down. And he passed out, and we're not sure what to do. And then they checked a little further with the doctors, and the doctor said, you know, when they pass out like that, you probably ought to have a CAT scan done. And then there was the concern about CAT scans. He'd had two or three of them when he had his lung surgery just a few months before. And if you know anything about CAT scans, you don't like a lot of radiation in the body. And so there was a concern about that, but the doctor said, you better check it. And no sooner did he come out of that CT and they saw the blood that was gathering around the brain and pressing against the brain. 30 minutes later, he was in surgery. And immediately, fear grips your heart. It's a human response. And some would call it even a panic sense. And I remember Brother Gabe Rule was with me that night. He had been there for the meeting and had our book table and so forth. And I called Brother Gabe, I think it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, Brother Gabe, I got to go right back to the airport. And drove about 2 hours back to Detroit. My heart was racing. And I found a way to get a ticket, and I went to gate 76. And there was not a soul in that entire part of the airport. And I just went to the Lord in prayer and just cried out to God in prayer as my grandson was in surgery here in California. Nothing I could do. They're putting him on the helicopter to take him down to Hollywood. Nothing I could do except to pray and to come boldly to the Lord in prayer. Do you know that's probably the most important thing I could have done right then? Many times you'll get to that place in your life, there's nothing else you can do. And that's where God many times wants us to be, where we'll trust in him. And so here we see a very wise response that was made by this man, Daniel. And notice, secondly, his bold request, verse 16. The Bible says, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. He went in and desired of the king. I just want you to, just for a minute, allow me to make a parallel illustration. How many of you are thankful that we can just come right in and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ? I just like that phrase that says Daniel went in. And what a boldness this took to go in to the king and talk to the king. And sometimes that's what it takes. I remember when I was a fifth grade boy, we went on a field trip to Sacramento. And I just thought in my little fifth grade mind that if you're going to go to Sacramento, you might as well pop in on the governor. That's where he works, in case some of you don't know that. And so I wrote a really nice note for him, and I had it in a sealed envelope, and they were showing us all the different offices, and we went by the one. I said, this is the governor's office, and big oak trim, huge door. And there was a secretary sitting inside there, and all of our class was walking along. They said, keep moving, but I had a letter for the governor. And sure enough, as I got up right by that door, I took a left turn, I walked by the secretary, waved at her, walked right into the governor's office. He wasn't there, but I put my letter on his desk, looked around, looked pretty cool, and went back to see my class. The secretary tried to catch me as I went in, and she kind of did this as I was going out, but nevertheless, I made it in, made it out. I just went in. Now, I wasn't paying taxes yet. I couldn't say I'm a tax-paying citizen, but I nevertheless went in. And I have a beautiful letter from Ronald Reagan in my office library that he wrote to me after he read that little note. And if you know anything about Ronald Reagan, he was a great letter writer and a great communicator. And in his letter, he talks about his daily need for God's wisdom to run the state. Would be to God our current governor would have the same sentiment. But I just went in. It was kind of a bold thing to do. And Daniel just went in, and he desired, he made a request, he made a petition. I made a petition today. I don't know if it's going to work out, but I'll be preaching in the Washington, D.C. area in the future, and I made a petition. I'd like to see the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. I'm hoping to see the man to talk about some of the issues we're facing out here in California regarding marijuana and so forth. And as the Lord would open that door, I'm just going to go in and visit with the gentleman and discuss some of the issues. I'm just saying, sometimes when trials come, we can get timid. And we can be afraid to go to the Lord or even to go to others and stand on the issue. And the wonderful thing that we see in Daniel's life was that while he was respectful, prayerful, and holy, he was not timid. I believe we need to raise a generation of young people at Lancaster Baptist Church that are bold for God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Some of these young men in this room that are called to preach, you need to have the boldness to knock on anybody's door and the boldness to stand for what is right. You may or may not prevail in every situation, but you need to at least go in and say what needs to be said. And this is what we learned from Daniel. He went in and he desired of the king. Warren Wiersbe said, "We must admire the courage of Daniel, for he faced the chief executioner boldly, and then he went right in to see the king." So, I mean, imagine this guy standing there with one of those big, you know, axes, you know, and Arioch, the keeper of the guard, and Daniel goes up and says, "Hey, what's the big hurry here? Why is the king hurrying so much? In fact, I'm just going to go in and talk to him." How many of you, just hearing that, remember Daniel's probably about 19 years old. How many of you would agree this young man had the touch of God on his life? So he had a bold request. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Daniel had their respect. Daniel went in and he did what God had called him to do. And when a man of God is walking in faith, he will not hesitate to say what needs to be said at a given moment. And this is what we see in Daniel's life. He made a bold request. So we see a courageous kind of a faith. How many of you believe that we need this kind of faith in our community and in our country today? Amen. A courageous faith. But notice, secondly, it was a contrite faith. Lest you think he was proud or full of himself, notice the spirit of Daniel beginning in verse number 17. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Now, I want you to notice what happens in verses 17 and 18. Notice here the call for a prayer meeting. The call for a prayer meeting. Faith's first resort is prayer. Let me say it again. Faith's first resort is prayer. A faithful man does not have prayer as the last resort. Faith's first resort is prayer. Let's say that together. Faith's first resort is prayer. Now, I don't know what you're facing tonight, and I don't know what you may face tomorrow, but let's get a picture in our mind. Daniel says to Arioch, "Whoa, hold the phone. What's the king doing?" And he goes into the king, and he says, "Sir, let me have a moment of your time. Give me an opportunity to seek the face of the living God concerning this dream." Now he goes to his friends, the three Hebrew children, and he calls a prayer meeting. By the way, this is a good reason to have godly friends. Some friends can talk about football. Some friends can talk about politics. But in times like these, you better have a friend that knows how to talk to God. And thank God Daniel had three friends who knew how to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm saying tonight There's no replacement for praying friends. We need to have friends that know how to get a hold of God. Oh, listen, there are times in your life when you need people praying with you that are people that are not involved in sin and gossip and worldliness, but people that really walk with God. And Daniel calls for a prayer meeting. What a beautiful picture. And this is what we're going to do tonight and just after this Bible study. Just take a few minutes for prayer. Because we must have God's prayer if we're going to see answers and if we're going to see what Daniel saw in the miraculous revelation that was given. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the call for a prayer meeting. And then notice, secondly, the character of the prayer. Okay, now they're in a prayer meeting, but let's learn how they prayed. And this is what we want to learn about tonight. How did they pray? What was the character of their prayer? Notice what it says in verse 18. The Bible says that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, one thing they're praying is, God, save our lives. And by the way, not a bad prayer, right? But more than that, they were praying in verse 18, mercies of the God of heaven. So the character of the prayer, several thoughts about it. First, they prayed with humility, that they would desire mercies. In other words, they didn't demand God, but they were saying, God, according to your mercy, we ask this. God, you are a merciful God. By the way, how many of you are thankful he is a merciful God? And he really is. And that's the basis of the prayer. God, we know we're not worthy, but because you're a merciful God, I've prayed that way so many times. Lord, because of your grace and your mercy, we come to you. And this is how they prayed, with humility. And then secondly, they prayed with hallowedness. Notice, we know in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. But notice what it says here in verse 18, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. I want you to see, as they pray with humility, they're praying, secondly, to the God of heaven. They prayed to the God of heaven, not to the spirit of the world, like the false prophets had prayed to, like the magicians had prayed. And then they prayed specifically. And I want you to see this, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven, thirdly here, concerning this secret. Concerning this secret. So this was not a general prayer. This was not, Lord, help all the missionaries. This was praying for a missionary. Or this was not, help us in all of our troubles, but this was, Lord, we're praying specifically right now that you would reveal the secret to Daniel, the three Hebrew children. Lord, help Daniel to have the sense of this. God, reveal the secret to him. He needs to know it. And tonight, I'm going to ask you to pray specifically that God would open the windows of heaven and that he would allow us this Sunday to give beyond our wildest understanding, that he would show us and avail to us and give us the spirit of a giving church that we might pray with specificity. James 1:5 tells us, for example, with wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. E.M. Bounds has written several wonderful books on prayer. E.M. Bounds. And in one of his books, he wrote, as praying is asking for something definite of God, so beforehand the thought arises, what shall I ask for at this hour? And you know, I trust that you have a specific prayer list of things and people you're praying for and seeking God's face in those areas. And boy, Daniel had a specific prayer on his mind. That prayer was the revelation of the vision and the salvation of his life. And that brings us to the fourth aspect of his prayer, was for safety. In verse 18, he said that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. They requested that God would protect them from death. By the way, it is not wrong to pray that God would prolong your life. It's not wrong to pray that God would give you an ability to continue to serve God, continue to praise God. And this was what they were praying. They wanted to live. They wanted to have opportunity to serve and worship their God. So there's a call for prayer. Then we see, secondly, the character of their prayer. By the way, how many of you are like me? You like to hear how people prayed in the Bible. It's very interesting to me, and to learn how they came to the Lord, and they came specifically, they came humbly, they prayed for safety. Now let's notice, let her see the consolation of the prayer. Let's see the consolation of the prayer. Verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Now, whenever you see a then, it's fun to find to ask, when? Then. When did this answer to prayer come? After they prayed, very obviously, right? And so we see they gather for a prayer meeting. Then it says in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And I don't know if you notice in this passage, but look at verse 14. Then Daniel, look at verse 16. Then Daniel, 17. Then Daniel, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto God. It's a sequential passage, and it's showing us the problem comes, the courage is given, the prayers are made, the prayer is answered, then. Okay, I don't know what then you are on right now. I just want to encourage you. Don't stop. Keep approaching God. Keep seeking God in the midst of your trial. The consolation of prayer. So let's see the consolation. First of all, God answers the prayer. Verse number 19. The secret was revealed unto Daniel. And immediately he is given this wisdom. Psalm 34, 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And I'm thankful tonight we serve a God that hears and a God that delivers. And I believe many, many people in this auditorium can say, there have been times in my life when God delivered me, and it was only God that could have answered that prayer. And the Lord, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and the Lord delivers. And it's an amazing thing. Sometimes we have a large membership at Lancaster Baptist Church. I have a lot of people that call me pastor who don't attend church as regularly as they should. But when troubles come into their life, a lot of times the calls will come. It's always a privilege to enter in and to try to help someone seek the face of God in the moment of that trouble. And with my pastor's heart, whether it's a college kid struggling with their bill or whether it's someone that has another kind of a need or something else that's going on down in L.A. or someone that's in trouble in various types of ways, I want to rush and I want to, you know, pay bail and call a doctor and I want to help someone get out of trouble. But I found many years ago as our church kept growing, I'm not omnipresent. And I certainly can't work miracles in all these different ways because the problems are so much greater than I dreamed when I first came to the ministry. But I want to testify to you that no matter where we are, that we serve a God, that we pray intercessory prayers on their behalf, that God is in the delivery business still. He delivers people. And the greatest resource we have is prayer. And we can bring people boldly to the throne of grace. So God answered the prayer. And then secondly, notice not only God's answer, but notice Daniel's adoration. There's a little praise chorus here, if you will, beginning in verse 20. And I want to just read it with you, verse 20 to 23. It says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep secret of things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what he desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. How many of you would say, that's a praise chorus? Amen? I mean, just think about what he's saying. You're the God that is forever and ever. Blessed be your name. You change all things. You cause some to rise and some to fall down. You reveal the deep secrets. Light dwelleth in you. I thank thee and I praise thee. I was talking to a young pastor recently, and we were talking about music, he asked me, he said, help me with some things. What can I do differently? How can I do better? I said, well, let's just talk about that one song. I said, I appreciate your heart and thank you for asking the question. But I said, you know, that song hardly ever, it hardly ever mentioned the name of God. It was a real nice melody, but it didn't really have much to say about God. Very, very very simple. And I said, I just would encourage you to try to find music that praises God and that has words that are edifying scripturally. And praise and worship isn't just about the melody, though that's very important to have a dominant melody, but praise and worship needs to be God-centered and Bible-based. And a lot of the new music today is just very simple, and you're not sure if they're talking about their boyfriend or about God when they're singing the song. I like songs that really let us know how great God is. Amen? And this is something that this prayer, but almost as a song, really tells us that Daniel wanted to give God the praise and give God the glory. I like that old-fashioned hymn, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." We sing that so much around here. Why? Because we want to keep giving God the glory, amen? And that's what Daniel was doing. You know, one of the wonderful things, when God brings you through a trial, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And when he brings you through it, don't forget to give him the glory. Well, I tell you, that's why when we build a building or give an offering, I always say to the song leader, let's sing "To God Be the Glory," because we know it's to his glory that these things have happened. And so Daniel adores God for his wisdom, for his changing of the times, removing of kings, revealing secrets, giving the answers that were requested. So here we see Daniel having a courageous faith. Then we see Daniel having a contrite faith to seek God and to praise God and to give God the glory. Notice finally tonight, he has a confident faith. Look at verse 24 now. Therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." How many of you kind of getting the idea here that Daniel's got this Arioch figured out, right? And he walks up to him, how many of you believe that God gives people favor sometimes? And Daniel had favor. And Daniel walked in, and he tells the guy holding the guillotine, he says, "Hey, hold off for just a minute. I need to go talk to the king." And what a blessing. And I believe this, no matter where you work, no matter where you live, if we walk with God, even in the most difficult times when we are in the minority spiritually, we can have God's blessing. And Daniel walked unto Arioch and said, "I need to talk to the king, and I'll give him the interpretation." Verse 25, "And Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said unto him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation.'" What a wonderful verse. Notice first of all that there is an urgent message. Why so urgent? Because lives were hanging in the balance. I mean, there were men whose lives, whose heads would be chopped off, or maybe Nebuchadnezzar's way would have been to throw them in a fiery furnace. I don't know how it was going to happen. But quickly they were brought in, and the king was told that there was a message from heaven. So there's an urgent message. And then secondly, there's a certain answer. Verse 26, please. "The king answered and said unto Daniel," whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Notice, he is very quick to give the answer. The king is surprised. "Art thou able to make known the dream?" And Daniel's answer is basically this: "I'm not able to make the dream known to you, but there is a God in heaven who hath made known the dream." Now listen, when it comes to God working in your life, yes, there are people that we give credit to. Sometimes we'll give credit to a doctor. I'm thankful for the doctor that operated on my grandson. I've witnessed to him. He's a Muslim man. He does not believe the same that I believe about Jesus Christ. We've discussed it. But I'm thankful that he had skilled hands to help my grandson that night. I give him credit for that. But I don't give him glory. We can give people the credit, but let's always give God the glory. Okay. There is a God in heaven. And how we thank the Lord for that. So remember that no matter what you're going through, that when God brings you through it, to give God the glory for what he has done. There's a certain answer from Daniel that this was God that brought this to pass. And Daniel begins to give the dream, and we'll not go through the entire prophetic dream tonight, but verse 29, he says, "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." And then he begins to give this great prophetic image. This image that is representative of the various kingdoms of the world. And this image that dealt with not only the great Persian Empire, but the Roman Empire, and then down to the revived Roman Empire, and then down to the ten toes, which I believe speak of the coming age of the Antichrist. And Nebuchadnezzar had this great prophetic vision that there was no way he could ever understand or comprehend the meaning of it, except there was a slave in his midst who walked with God. I don't care what your boss thinks about you, and you shouldn't either. And I don't mean that in a cocky way. In the sense, yes, you should have a good testimony, but in this sense, your boss may not really appreciate you, but if you're right with God, that's what matters more. Being right with God. And Nebuchadnezzar may not have thought a lot of these Hebrew children, but thank God that they walked with God and that they were able to reveal the answer to him. I'm just saying, sometimes the world may not appreciate the Bible, may not appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, but God put you at your workplace and God put us in this community to make a difference for his name. And when God gives us a victory, then let us be quick to say, there is a God in heaven. Daniel had a courageous faith. He had a contrite spirit, and he had a confident faith that God was able to deliver him. How many of you are thankful that God's able to deliver us? Whether it's out of the lion's den or whether it's through this vision that was given, Daniel would testify, God is able to deliver us. By the way, the same God that could tie up a lion's mouth could provide finances for every family in this church to give. How many of you believe he's a miracle-working God? What do we need to do to activate faith? We need to pray. We need to say to our friends tonight, would you pray with me? Because I want to see God at work. And in a moment, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get together with Shadrachs, Meshachs, Abednegoes, and Mrs. Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegoes. And we're just going to take some time tonight just to gather for some prayer and say, Lord, we're a needy people. And we ask you to do a great and mighty work in our lives.